I've been looking so much forward to be together with you and to be working with you on this very important subject. I'm Maria Tekker. I'm from Denmark. My name is not Danish, but I am from Denmark. And I know my English is a bit rusty, so don't hesitate to ask me to repeat or speak slower. I did pray God to make me fluent in English, but he probably said no. So I hope you can understand me, and please just ask me to repeat. Today we'll go through a journey through some of the ways we can help TCKs anchoring their identity. It sounds very serious, but actually working with TCKs is one of the most fun part of my job. It's one of the most exciting part. I love to have fun. I love to play, and I love to play with kids. And I hope you can get that kind of feeling when we talk today, the feeling of having fun together with the kids. In Copenhagen, where I work with families and children moving back and forth. I help them. I do screenings, I do debriefing, and I do crisis counseling. And this is the basis of what I'm going to talk about today. I'm not standing here as the expert. The experts are the children, and I would have loved to bring some of them in here, the TCKs of today. I think some of you are TCKs, adult TCKs, but I would have loved to bring some of the 6 to 13, 14 TCKs in here. But unfortunately, I have to represent them, so I'll try to be the voice of the TCKs. How many of you in here are adult TCKs? Quite many. How many of you are parents to TCKs? Most of you. How many of you are professionals working with TCKs? Thank you. So this is a workshop, and I'd like all of you to work together with me. And sometimes you'll be working in groups, because I know you have a huge amount of experience, all of you. So I'd like you to invite you to participate and to talk together about this subject, so it's not just me lecturing all the time. Okay. To begin with, and most of what I'm saying today is based partly on knowledge from research, Ruth von Regan and Pollock, and some of the newer research, but mostly it's based on the experience from working with the TCKs. A lot of voices in my mind, a lot of small kids telling me stories, and this is what I want to, this is my lenses, my perspective of today. In Denmark, we are in the middle of a fund-based project where we have 100 kids going through a two-year period of time. We work with them in TCK groups. We have 8 children in each group. We have groups from 6 to 10 and 11 to 14. And we have 8 sessions for each group. We meet once a month. And this is what I'm trying to tell you a little bit about today, how we work with them and how we teach them to build up their stable identity. So I'll show you a lot of pages from a guidebook. It's down back in the room. This is a guidebook that we wrote together with the kids. We asked them what could be a great help, what would you have needed before you went, what would you have needed before you went back. And they gave a lot of good comments on this book, and they wrote it together with us. So this is not an advertisement of the book, but I will show you a lot of pages just to show you how you can work with the children, how you can translate some of the knowledge from the research into the eyes of the children at age 6 to 13. What we do see in the groups when we get together with the children is that they actually form their identity in the groups. They connect with each other, and they grow in TCK groups by different factors. They mirror themselves in the story of the others, and being part of that third culture in the group is actually the cornerstone of working with them. The children are using games, they are using cards, role plays, video clips, metaphors, etc., etc. Everything to that can help them express what they're going through and can help them put on words on their challenges and resources. And most of all, it's a safe place for them, being in the group. They know that they can say whatever they feel. They have this very neat, unique closeness, but also a very the right amount of distance in the group. They're very dedicated to this very social third culture, and it's very meaningful to them. So this is the framework behind what I'm going to say today. I think you're all familiar with the definition of third culture kids, so I won't dig into that. But I want to show you how we put it in the words of children. The great graphic designer of the book, Kim Miller, she made a lot of different models of a TCK. And this one was the one that all the TCKs agreed upon. This is actually how I feel. This is how I am. The square, your passport country or your parents' country. And the rhombus, the new country or the new countries that they are living in. And then the triangle, the TCK in the middle of it, the third culture. So this is what we're trying to do all through the books, all through the book. In the beginning, we go through the passport country, and it has this little sign, no numbers, but signs. This is what you had, what you're going through. And then in the middle of it, when they are in the new country, you see the rhombus. This is the guideline for being in the middle of a new life. And then in re-entry, it looks like this, a triangle. So they go through all the different processes during the book. Okay. So, Ruth von Regen said, it is my conviction that being a TCK is not a disease, something from which to recover. It's a life healthily enriched by this very TCK experience and blessed with significant opportunities for further enrichment. First of all, I know we'll be talking a lot about the challenges, but I think it's very important to stress that this is a resource-focused view on TCKs. It's a great help for them to be told that they have gotten a lot of extra resources. They actually have a lot of strengths, and to verbalize them. So hands up. What do you think of when you think about extra resources that TCKs have? Yes?
Several languages,
yes.
Greater empathy,
sure.
They can easily adapt to new languages.
Yes, that's true, yeah.
A huge network, or a very diverse network.
Yes, huge network and, diversity in networks.
Broader worldview.
Yeah.
They know they have lived in different cultures.
Yes.
Real life experience, different cultures, not just online or TV or whatever.
Yeah. So these are a lot of the strengths and a lot of the resources they have. In our group, we frame all of the group sessions as one journey. We are flying out in an airplane. Sorry for my painting. Not a whale, but an airplane. And we are flying around the TCK globe. And then we have all these fictive languages, fictive countries, saying friends country or missing land, family land. Who am I? Land. We do have maybe 6 or 7 countries that we have made up, and then we ask the children, what country do you want to go to? And then they come up with some extra countries as well. When we fly out, in the beginning we had this suitcase, and then we tell them that during the group session, we will collect whatever you say about strengths. So we'll put that on a green sticky note and put it in a suitcase. And we also collect challenges, put that on yellow sticky notes. And in the end of the group sessions, we will open up that suitcase and read up loud. And it's a very powerful way of mirroring and reinforcing their strengths. Okay, I want to show you, before we move on, I want to show you a small video clip or film clip. It's from a Danish documentary that came out last year. It follows two Danish French-American TCK twins who have decided to settle down in Copenhagen in order to establish a home together. And the reason why I want to show you this small clip is that one of the sisters, she has some very deep thoughts on identity, on creating her identity as a TCK. So let's put on just, no, I have to do it, sorry.
I'll find it.
Here we go.
What do you think about moving?
I'm glad I'm here.
I need to translate this to elsewhere. Do you feel like home here, despite you never lived here, but you came when you was a child?
Yeah, well, I think the most important part of the time for the shaping of the personality is from 0 to 3 or and more. So I guess I'm very influenced by Scandinavia. But at the same time, I think I'm learning along the way that a solid perspective doesn't need to be based on a geographical location. I can build a solid perspective from within myself.
And that then it actually ends up giving you an interesting perspective. If you manage to concentrate on like 5 things, if you, in your case, concentrate on urban planning and cycling and music and 2 other things in 5 different countries, then you have an incredible rich perspective.
And
on
you get
five
a
things.
Lot of different influences.
Yeah.
Patchwork of
and
different.
And this is the base of a solid character in a moving space. And I think you're better, you're further advanced than I am in this process.
Why?
Because you're 32 and going towards 33, and I'm 6 years from there. Okay, no, 5. And
yeah, but you started to travel much younger.
That's what I'm saying. This is not connected to travel. It's a choice that you make in order to not lose yourself between the countries.
Yeah.
Because when I moved from London to Paris, for example, I hadn't started this process yet, and everything that I was doing in London was very different from everything I did in Paris.
Yeah,
and that was...
but for me, it's a little bit different.
Come on.
Because I think that I always move because I'm driven by the things that I admire and I search for. I mean, I go to specific places because these places are good or have a special relevance.
For these things.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for me, it depended. Like, I went to London because it sounded cool and I knew that I would have an interesting education there. But it was not as conscious. Like, I think in my case, it's more like, since my mother is French and my father is Danish, they taught us, like, you can... just like you switch water from one glass to the next, you can go from one country to the other and just continue. And we did that every year. Like, we went from one country to another, and that was completely normal. So for me, it was just a question of like, oh, there's no actual barrier, so I'm just gonna go to the next context. And it was a bit of a...
humans are made to be nomads, or certain.
Yeah, I think so. But I think we're made to be nomads. But I think the nomads traveled with their community, and that's one thing that I feel great here because you're here, and that my sister is here. And so I'm I'm moving with my community. If I was moving without my community, I would feel less, it goes against the nomadic element. So yes, we move, but we move with people. We don't move alone. And if you keep on moving alone, though you create ties again, then I think it goes a little bit against our nature.
Thank you for your patience with the internet connection. Let me just start it. So what are your thoughts about this movie, or this small film clip? What do you think about her way of expressing her identity? Just hands up. What comes to your mind?
And then the other thing that she said, that if we do travel and move, and that is normal, but that you don't do it alone. And
yes.
Difference between people, or if you look in the past, how people or groups of people used to travel, but they always remained within one community or one culture. And I think in the modern society experience, it's very, that factor doesn't exist anymore. So you do dip into not your people or your community.
Yes. Yes, building up relationship and moving with your community is very important in forming your identity. That's one of the most important things she's saying. Yes, anything else that comes to your mind?
I find it quite interesting that you said actually that it's important to travel with the community. I guess with the TCK now, I don't know how that works because you have lots of different communities. Say you travel with your family.
Yes. It's much more pragmatic. Yeah. Mhm. Okay.
So also says identity isn't necessarily a certain location.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm used to think from the TCK background that identity is very close connected to relations, but she also says it's also connected to the things you are driven to, your education, your further goals, and that's a little bit of another point of view she's coming up with. We'll touch base on that later on. Okay, thank you so much. That was just to give you an idea of, let me go back again, sorry. Here we are. What are we talking about when we talk about identity? It's a whole big issue, so I'll just try to shorten it a bit down. It comes from Latin, idem, which means same, me being the same, me being the same over time, me being the same but different from others. The traits of personality that describe and delimit me as a person as different from others. This is me. And identity consists of two factors. One is self-concept, self-identity. My self-concept, my subjective experience of who I am. And usually one's self-identity is constant and continues over time and place. When I wake up in the morning, I know I'm me, I know I'm not my sister or my mom. And my memories from when I was 7 years old, they are the same. I do know they are mine. So I can recognize myself over time because of my narrative. I have a life story that I carry with me with a lot of memories. And this narrative is a very important interpretation of whatever I've been going through in my life. So this is self-identity. Another factor is social identity. Others' perception of me. This form of identity has much more to do with the way we interact with others, how we deal with social situations, and how people affect us. When they mirror back, verbal or nonverbal, they actually mirror how they see me. In social situations, we often put on a specific role, but we are much more than one role or two roles. If there is a conjunction between the self-identity and the social identity, we are in a very, very important existential balance. On the other hand, if there is not a balance between what I, the way I perceive myself and the way others perceive me, I do struggle existentially, and we'll come back to that a lot more. Another thing is that characteristic for the late modern people, as Jackie was talking about, is that identity is more fluid now. It's more formable. It's not stable and based on cultural and family values. It's much more the individual's responsibility, built on a lot of individual choices. This is a choice I make, therefore I am. Yeah. When we talked about the Who Am I land in the TCK group, there was this little guy, this very shy guy, who whispered to me, I have to go to Who Am I land, but I also have to visit Who Is Everybody Else land, because that's very confusing to me. He was wise. So in small groups, we don't have a lot of time. Just rows, talk together. What are the challenges of forming an identity abroad? Some of the children in the book has pointed out some of them. Sometimes I don't know where I belong. I'm not like everybody else. But can you talk five and five? What do you think are the challenges of forming an identity growing up abroad? Hear what you are thinking and what you've been talking about. I just love that you're still summing, and I hate to interrupt you. It's weird, though, because you have this very strict time schedule, and then at the same time, this is what I really want in a workshop. So I just love that you're talking. Come up with some of the ideas of what you talked about. Over here.
I asked this young lady, because I knew she was a TCK, to tell me from her point of view. Great. I'm a teacher of TCKs, and
yes.
I know what I think, but I like to, that's why I asked her to tell me.
Yes. Thank you.
Well, I guess if you're brought up in many different cultures, you have to say, if you're with American friends, you try and make yourself different. That's the English influence, and you compare, but you also accept other people. But when you are here, people are not accepted. As in monoculture, they don't understand that you have some difference, that something different about you, especially if you look the same.
Yes.
So they don't understand you are different, and they're not always willing to, it's a big generalization, but not always willing to ask, or there's no need to ask, or there's no need to kind of notice any difference.
Yeah.
And so it's quite hard when, if you move, to say, actually, there's this whole part of me that you will never see, and I can never share.
Right, right. There's one part of me who is hidden.
But it's like a huge part, because, you don't know how to connect.
Right. Very good point. And actually, what you're stating is that it's more into the social identity than the self concept. Right. Yeah. Could everybody hear her?
Mm-hmm.
Good. It's hard just to repeat it, but going from one group to another group means that there are some part of you that can actually be obvious and be visible in one group, and whole other part of you that they don't really accept or know of in the other groups where you, when you travel. Sorry, it was just very short. Yeah. Somebody else? Yes.
Than actually forming the identity overseas, because like you were describing, you know, it was kind of like they would compare different things, but they were all the same, because they were all out of their passport country. But going back, then they just didn't know, people expected them to be a certain way, or expected them to know certain things, or expected them to behave in a certain way, which they didn't have any emotional connection to. So that's where it cropped up more than
being abroad. Yeah. So homecoming is much more difficult. And you're touching on the same, that's my point later on. Mm. Self-concept is clearer, but social identity is where the trouble is. Yeah. Okay. Any one last comment?
I'm thinking of the
kind of thing that has mentioned
earlier. Yes.
So for my kids, they grew up in Egypt and they came back one by one from university. It was hard to come back to the passport country.
Yes.
They didn't. It was not easy at all. But it wasn't, they were, and even the relationship were not easy in the beginning, but they were pleasantly surprised to find this tribe that they were.
Yes.
The people that were happy when they were born, that knew the stories when they were little.
Yes. Yes. And a lot of good reasons for that. We'll come back to that. But that's a very important point. I would love to hear all of you, but I know that you have been talking and shared, so keep that in mind. I asked the children if they could help me prepare this workshop. And I said, can you give me some of the answers on this one? And they said, it's difficult to find your identity if you're trying to fit in and not stand out and be weird. And one said, sometimes you want to just be like the others and not feel too different from them. It's hard to find your identity if you feel that others think you're strange. It is. It can be tough when you move because people in different places have other ways of doing things and you just want to fit in. And the last one, identity is also about where you're from, but that can be a difficult question too when you have moved around a lot and are unsure about it. I just love them. They are so spot on. In order for a child to develop a stable identity, he or she has to succeed on 5 different developmental tasks. And I know that there is a lot of theory going on, but I'll just stick to the one most common used. And I really want you to listen carefully. I won't go in detail with all of them, but in a couple of minutes you'll be sitting in groups again discussing how can you help TCKs develop those tasks. So listen carefully. First of all, developing a sense of personal identity. She said in the movie, from 1 to 3, that's the important years. I would say actually from 6 months, and then it begins all during the rest of the childhood. That's the time where the child develops a sense of personal identity, knowing that I'm not my mom, I am my own personality. I'm something of myself. That's the first one. And then building strong relationships begins early on as children differentiate themselves from their parents. And then in the beginning, the primary bond is to the parents. But the more they grow up, the peers and the friends becomes more and more important for them and take over the very close, intimate bond with the parents. And in the adolescence, peers and friendships are absolutely critical, and we'll come back to why that is. Then the third one, developing competence in decision-making. Jackie was saying a lot about that, and that could be a whole workshop. Competent decision-making is based on the assumption that the world is predictable, and that individuals have some kind of control. I can actually make a decision and I know what the outcome is. And then achieving independence, when we have the stability of knowing what the rules of the family or what the rules of the culture is, we have learned to make competent decisions, then we begin to move toward independency. And when we have that, we can move into adulthood. And this is the crucial stage in forming one's identity. Now the young person must gradually loosen his ties to the parents and try to build up his own values and his own family. The group of friends and peers, they have great significance for the individual in these years because they serve as role models. And because the individual gets his or her social identity from the group and from peers. All the things mentioned here, they take a lot of energy and they take a lot of courage. And it can create great confusion and chaos in the life of a young person. If that happens, they will end up in an identity crisis where they have to create a cohesive whole identity in all their experiences and in all their roles. But if this happens successfully, in a positive way, and the person has a positive attitude to the future, and develops an idea of what is my role in life, then one can say that the young person has developed an integrated identity. And to have an integrated identity means I feel at home in myself. And that this self is actually the result of the opportunities, the choices, as you said, Sarah, the values, and it fits with the picture I have put together with myself that others see. So, most children move through all of these five developmental stages in a very stable context. They live in one physical place and they don't move. They have one primary culture group. The world stays constant, and whenever they work with decisions, they could test it because they knew all the rules. This is not the case for TCKs. As a result, the development tasks, they are often interrupted, delayed, or sometimes expedited. And that's the reason why we see early maturity or prolonged adolescence. As we talked about yesterday afternoon, yesterday evening, we talked about the prolonged adolescence. Let me give you an example of the group, from the group. When we see them, they're very reflective. They have very deep observations. They seem very mature. But at the same time, they keep talking about, I don't know what's going on. I can't connect with my classmates. I don't know the rules of the games. I don't know how to connect to them socially. So it's uneven maturity. Some of the reasons why they have, why they are high on maturity is because of the global awareness. Some of the strengths that you mentioned before, relating to adults, they have a very unique way of relating to adults. One of the girls said when she came into the group that I really miss the adults, because when I came from, I think she went to Dubai or something like that, the teachers were friends and they connected with us and they were interested in us. But here in Denmark, they're just teachers and they don't really ask how I'm doing. So relating to adults is very important. Communication skills, multilingual, they're used to talk to people from diverse cultural backgrounds, and they get a lot of broader perspective on that. And early autonomy skills, they are used to deal with very difficult and unique situations. But also, they are low on some developmental tasks due to the process being sometimes inhibited, going through some of the developmental tasks, for instance, making choices or trying to be independent can be very difficult if the cultural values changes, if they go from one culture to another culture. It could also be at the time where their peers are internalizing the rules of the culture, they are actually in the middle finding out what is the rules? What are the rules here? How can I know what is going on? It's interesting to see that adolescence as a broad term is moving from 10 to 19 to 10 to 25. Usually we talked about TCKs having prolonged adolescence. Now we see it as a general thing in culture. And I think when we observe the TCKs and learn much more from them, we'll learn much more from what is going on in society, because a lot of children face the same kind of challenge today. Life is often unpredictable as a TCK, and it is for the young people in the society as well. And that makes it harder to make decisions. And also home cultural expectations. When they come back home, you said that re-entry is very difficult. Because when they come home and they seem very mature, they get confused because they don't know what is going on, and they kind of confuse themselves between, am I mature or am I actually emotionally younger than the others? And that's very difficult. Differentiation from the system, I'll come back to that later on. So that was a lot of short, quick rush through some theory. I'd like you to get together in the groups, and I'll not want you to go through all of these five stages, but I'll like one group over here to focus on developing a sense of personality, personal identity. How can we help the TCKs develop a sense of identity, a personal sense of identity. The group over here, can you focus on that? And the one behind that, can you focus on building strong relationships? What is actually helpful for the TCKs in developing a strong relationship, not a lot of strong relationships? And the group over here, let's see if I get all of them, developing competence in decision making. We talked a lot about confusing and going for different values. How can we help the TCKs in developing identity in that area? Mm-hmm. You understand the question? Are you just the three of you? Yeah, I'm sorry, I think you are. And then the middle group, look at achieving independence. What is helpful for the TCKs in achieving independence? And the last group down there, looking at moving into adulthood. What is actually helpful for the TCKs? So go ahead. And you don't have a lot of time, so get spot on. Okay, let's start again. Thank you for spending time together this hearing. I think maybe you can just stay in your groups, but I'll just continue on. Let's hear from the first group. What did you come up with? You had that developing a sense of personal identity. How can we help TCKs developing a sense of personal identity? What did you come up with?
Who's the speaker?
Okay. I just want to say that, first of all, my experience is coming from a teacher of TCKs and how I tried to help them value their own, what we would call to them, home countries, their parents' countries, and teach them about it. And then when they go home, we came into valuing the country that they've been brought up that still needs to be valued and experienced, and other people enjoying that too. The two together helps their identity.
Good, thank you. Other comments from the group? No, just this group. Other comments?
What did I say?
I think another point is to enrich the memories we have, maybe of the host country or of the home country. So experience for the last time a meal, which is typical for this country.
Embracing the memories, valuing the background and the new country.
And I guess, like we say, it's hard because for maybe the church that is supporting or the people you're interacting with when you go to the passport country, that you can't expect them to understand. Mm-hmm. And talking to them, like they'll have the glaze over and you can't expect that.
Yes.
But you can in the family at least build places to share and to talk about the things that are missed or that hurt, but also to remember, like talk about memories and acknowledge them as like they're real. Mm. And the country still exists. Like it's not, the country has been destroyed. It's still there and things still happen there and they move on there as well. And to help people move on into the new one.
So what you're talking about is having life witnesses.
Yeah.
Yeah, someone who has witnessed what you've been going through in your whole life.
Yeah, I'm guessing mostly that would be family.
Yes, most of the time families. Yeah. Okay, let's just leave it here, and you will have a chance later on. Just keep the microphone. Okay, I'll come back to you later on. So I'll just say have a few comments on this one before we move to the strong, building strong relationships. What you said about the life witnesses, I really want to point that and stress that because it's very important. One of the young people we talked to, she focused on that, and I want to read it out loud because it's very important what she says. And actually, when I heard your story yesterday, Sarah, I thought, this is so similar. I could just have asked you to come up. But let's go with this one. She said, home for me was not Denmark, and it quickly became clear to me when I moved back. While we had lived abroad, I felt very Danish. No one questioned my Danishness. I looked like a stereotyped Danish person. The reality was different when I started at a Danish high school. I dressed differently. I did not know Danish fashion. I heard some different music. I knew nothing about Danish pop culture and television. I spoke funny and would rather speak English. My reality was another than theirs. My experiences were in many ways far more harsh than the safe lives of my Danish classmates. And several questioned my solar usage every time there had been school holidays and I had been home under the sun. They did not know that I was also African and had been at home during my vacation. It was not something you could immediately see. I felt like an invisible immigrant, and I quickly stopped telling new acquaintances about my background because I felt it made the gap between us even bigger. Moreover, quite quickly, what happened was that my circle of friends became others with an international background, those they call immigrants, and the few other kids at school with Danish background who had also grown up abroad. We were as magnets and quickly found each other. With them, I felt at home and accepted, because when we moved together, none of us needed to fit into a box of cultural norms we did not know. They became my family. The young woman still had difficulty finding out who she was until one day, 19 years old, she hit upon Ruth van Reken's book. I don't remember exactly what I Googled that morning, but it must have been something like cultural identity or cultural homelessness. And suddenly it was there, the book, Third Culture Kids Growing Up Among Worlds. That sounded like me. I started reading the introduction and it said, third culture kids are children who, et cetera, et cetera. I cannot describe the relief I felt that day. I can't describe what happened inside me, but I remember a totally enormous joy and a totally enormous relief. I was not alone. There were others like me and we had a name. No, we had an identity. We were not homeless, we were TCKs. Our home was a third culture, and it was a culture we all shared. There were people doing research on us, who looked up to us, who thought we were unique and special because we were culturally intelligent, adaptable, and globally conscious. People who thought that others could learn from us because we were us. That us and that TCK identity, that is the us and the identity that we want to help the kids to understand before they get 19 and frustrated. And we really want to help them with that. And we can do that by letting them be mirrored by other TCKs, by quotes, like the ones I had up before, where TCKs quote how it is to be a TCK, by Facebook network, by camps, I know some of you are involved in TCK camps, groups, and by adults who are very interested in them and who actually understand what it is to be a TCK, who listen to them and who mirror their experiences. And having the kids themselves read the description of a TCK and express it in their own words. I want to share you some new research on this that is very interesting. It just came out last year. There was a German philosopher 100 years ago who said the shortest path to oneself leads around the world. And this newest research actually repeated or actually confirmed that it's right. But the research is Hayo Adam at Rice University. He made a huge study of 1,080 people. And he looked upon the self-concept clarity. He did a lot of different studies with the people. And what he came out with, the results were tested in different ways, but still it was rather clear. Those who had lived abroad had a clearer self-concept. That is confidence in and clarity about who you are. They were higher on that than people who had not been moving or lived abroad. The new findings suggest that because living abroad, away from your usual cultural environment, it allows you to confront and perhaps redefine what truly is you, what is important to you, and what is not important to you. It also leads to improved confidence in and clarity about who you are. And the longer you live at the place, the better clarity. So this is also what we actually see in the TCK groups. They are very high on the self-identity. They are very good at expressing themselves, and they are working on finding out who they are. But what is difficult for them is the social identity and the struggle between knowing who I am but not being able to express it or not being able to have different groups seeing what I am. One of the way of helping the TCKs to define themselves, as we talked about later earlier on, is by using life witnesses, narratives, helping them to collect memories. Some of you said that also. Collecting memories and then trying to figure out how can I show my life story, my narrative to people around me. Because when they come home and they talk a lot, people get bored or they don't connect to it and it's too much, it's too different. So we have to teach the children, the TCKs, how to do it, put it in smaller doses, in smaller proportions. And then on the other hand, we have to teach them that everybody has a special story. So whenever you listen to somebody, connect with that underlying feeling, that underlying feeling of being different, of being somebody else, so you don't just feel different, but you connect on what actually combine us and connect us. Yes. And then the social identity, in-group and out-group. I'll just put a couple of words on that because it's very important for the TCKs. Social identity is formed by being part of a group, having different roles, being in different social arenas. Gidden, if anybody know about Gidden, talks a lot about that. The different individuals within a social arena, they mirror themselves in the group and also in the group identity. The group identity is defined by norms, values, ideas, and therefore it becomes very interesting to see how we fit in or how we do not fit into a group. Knuckles developed this model, it's in the Pollock and Regan book, and they also worked with the chameleon, screamer, and wallflower. And we're put in this way, and we work very actively with the children, having them write down, what do a chameleon think? How do they react? And then we do role plays. And we teach them that you can actually be flexible. The best thing is to be flexible, so you don't stick just to one role, but you can shift from one part to another. If we look up at the chameleon, he doesn't fit into the system, but he attempts to conform. He has learned not to reveal his feelings or desires because early on he learned that his feelings were wrong and he was not thinking the right way. So he is losing himself, but the system is winning. He's trying to adapt. The screamer over here doesn't fit and doesn't want to fit. She has spent years of her life trying to prove that. I am not. But the more she tries to describe what she is not, she's not able to find herself. So she is losing and the system is losing. Then there is the wallflower, who doesn't fit the system, but he doesn't really realize it, or he doesn't seem to mind about it. It doesn't occur to him that he doesn't worry about what others think or if they disapprove. So here the individual wins because he is living in congruence with who he is, but the system is losing. And then there's the last one, the person who fits the system. Her personality and her interest fits well into the group. They gives her place in room to share who she is and they accept her. That's the ideal situation, but this is not what happens from time to time. We need to teach the TCKs to be flexible and sometimes be in this one and sometimes in some of the others and not losing themselves. An 11-year-old boy said the following to me when we worked about the chameleon. He said, I think others see me as a screamer, but inside myself, I'm invisible because I don't fully understand what is happening around me. And he's right. He oftentimes shifts from one to another, and sometimes he doesn't feel what he's actually perceived by from the others in the group. Yes, we could talk a lot more about this, but we have to go through some of the other stuff as well. So I'm interested in knowing, what did the group who talked about building up strong relationships talk about? I think that was you down there. How can we help TCKs building strong relationships? Yes, it's done.
Well, we thought that a very typical thing for TCKs is they have strong family bondings.
Yes.
But then we asked two questions. What is a strong relationship? We heard from Jackie that Jen said probably has a very different idea about strong relationships than other generations. And then we asked, what about those who meet TCKs? as you said, they might be much more mature. So if you come with a certain concept of your own identity, but you meet friends or people from church even who didn't ever think about their own identity. So how can you build relationships? Mm. Well, for me, there are even more questions than answers to that.
Yes.
I don't know. Do you want to add something?
My group? And the other thing that we said is that you try to place value on friendships, or that family members try to make time for friends even though they're not there. So I think one big problem for me personally was that when I left, I always thought, okay, well, I'll never see my friends again, or they'll be gone, and then you kind of neglect that friendship. And for parents or carers to kind of make time to even just write a letter to a friend, even if you don't post it, to just kind of accept that that relationship is still there, even though you can't physically meet them.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought also when you come back, that the family, but I know that is not always possible, but that also the new place you're coming to, you stay for some time, duration of time. I mean, building a relationship and building friendships, also for us as not TCKs, when you come to a new place, it just needs time.
Yes.
And if the family keeps on moving, then of course it will be difficult.
Yes.
We just also mentioned that social media, of course, for the generation, young generation, is an advantage.
Yes.
So that they can keep strong relationships wherever they are and where their relationships were in the past.
Yes.
I also think it's possible to train relationships. I was asked the other day, hey, did you ever teach your own children how to start a relationship? How to go through conflicts, how to whatever, And this is, I think, what TCKs really need to know. We can decide, I want to live in relationships and I can train.
Mm. Mm.
Because we were not born with a gene to live in relationships. We really have to train this.
Yes. Very, very important comments, all of you. I think I can just skip some of my notes now because you touched base on quite a few of them. We really want them to help to maintain relations, but only when there's a basis of it. Don't push and force, or don't enforce relationships that are not there. And what is most important, if they have to build strong relationships, is that they actually are in a safe place and a secure attachment. That is a whole big issue, talking about secure attachment. I'll just touch base on it. It begins with the adult's capacity to mirror back effectively. So when they see the child being sad, you have to respond to that feeling. And I see a lot of parents and a lot of teachers who don't want to comment on the sad or difficult feelings because they're afraid they're creating the feelings. But it's the contrary. The feelings are already there. So it's very important that the adults step forward and ask the children, how are you feeling? And I can see you're sad. I understand why you're sad. If I was in that situation, I would be very sad as well. Can you tell me more about it? And then the adults go before the children, are role models and creators and gatekeepers for that safe place. And that is a way of training the children in order to build up friendships, strong friendships. Okay. Oh, so much I wanted to say, but I think I'll just leave it here. Let's go to the group up here. Developing competence in decision making. What did you come up with? How can we help CCKs in developing that part of identity?
I think part of what we said was you give them opportunities to make choices.
Yes.
From an early age.
Yes.
You affirm the choices that they make and help them evaluate those choices. And that's some of the biggest things.
Yes.
If you overprotect them and prevent them from being able to make choices throughout their childhood, then when they get into their late adolescence and early adulthood, they don't know how to make those decisions.
Yes. so important, because that way you value them and you give them the whole idea of trusting their feelings and trusting their thinking. Gilia said a little bit about that yesterday as well. I'll just run through this and show you something from the Dunedin study. Anybody heard about that before? It's a big Australian study. And what is very unique about that, I think they followed 1,000 kids from embryo state to 32, and this is the first long-term study where they have looked at all kind of different factors like criminal behavior, alcohol, physiology, environment, everything. And they looked, what they were very focused on is what happens, how come some children are better at dealing with hardship than others? What are the factors? What have they learned in order for them to deal with life? And what they found is that ideals, norms, and values are cornerstones for building the child's standards. And that comes with parents building up that standards, valuing whatever they think, whatever they decide during the way. Children are better off when they're not protected against hardship. We talked about that yesterday. This is a big thing in Western society. It's not just TCKs, but I do see it a lot in the TCK area with parents being very insecure. Children need to learn to master challenges and resistance, hardship instead of resistance. Guidance, training them to deal with friendship and to deal with friends not wanting to be a friend anymore. Children need parents to be there and to teach them to overcome challenges without solving them for them. All of this, when we see that at the Dunedin study, what they found is that the parents that were able to give the children these four elements, they had children that were more happy, they evaluated their life more positively than others, so they had a higher sense of self, they had better friendships, they were socially more competent and had fewer conflicts with other kids, they were more empathetic, and they had better ways of dealing with negative emotions. All of this stuff we want to give our children, and especially the TCK children. And the factors in it, if I just have to focus quickly on it, the will to take on challenges and the ability to keep on going, even if it sometimes feels hard or boring, that was one of the factors that the parents raised them to. And they had the courage to fail and the strength to handle defeat and disappointments as well. And the ability to take responsibility and contribute to a community. And to learn to put oneself aside. And the ability to handle big and vulnerable feelings. These are some of the factors that they saw in the Dunedin study and that we also want to enhance in the TCK kids as well. And actually, I just went on to the next group and I asked you, how can you help the TCKs to develop more independence in their lives? And I almost gave you the answers, but I hope that you also came up with some different stuff.
It's pretty much very similar to what the last group just said, giving them choices while they're young, so that they, as time goes on, as they get older, they can become more and more independent. But also from the basis of having a strong foundation in their family, through other relationships that will always be there, helping, encouraging, supporting.
Yes.
What else did we say? Yeah, that's pretty much where we got to. We had a hard time distinguishing how it would be different doing this with TCKs, particularly than anybody else, yeah.
And it isn't, but it's more, even more important for TCKs that you do it. And I think that's the whole thing we have to focus on, that they need it even more than others, yes. Okay, I just want to skip it back a little bit and give you an example of how we work with teaching the children to trust their own feelings and thinking. Because one thing is to talk about it in theory, another is how do you put it when you talk to children about it. Okay, 5 minutes. I got it. I want to give you an example of a little boy. This is from cognitive behavioral theory, if you know that. And what we do is basically we focus on the thinking and how it affects the feeling and the body signals and the behavior. And this little boy came because the parents thought he didn't reflect on the coming transition, and they were in doubt on how to reach him. And we talked to him, and we used this model, and then he said he opened his full universe of soccer, because that was his world. And he showed me the ways his thoughts worked. So hang on. He said, "I'm scared about moving to Denmark. They play in wet grass, and I have never tried that before. I'm just playing in dry dust, and I'm one of the best. And I'm respected for my soccer skills. But when I come to Denmark and we have to play in rainy weather, I might lose my skills. Then I'll not be able to get friends, and I'll be lonely." Feelings. "These thoughts make me feel scared and sad, and my body gets restless, and I keep reading about soccer in Denmark on the internet." So what we did with him is examining the whole cycle, and then very carefully we tried to get him to nuance his thinking, to be more flexible in his thinking. So he said, okay, or we said to him, "Focus your thoughts on your ability to try new things and to handle new sports. Have you tried that before?" Oh, he had. And he had great skills, and he knew how to adapt. "Can you get new friends even though you're not the best player on the team?" That was a hard one for him. But finally he said, "Well, yeah, I can get best friends even though I'm not the best. How does that affect your feelings?" And he was very good at saying, "Well, I feel great relief now, and I know that I have the strength to do that." And his body was in rest, and he would go out and play different kind of sports and get new friends. So this is the way it works when you work with children that way, and it's very powerful and very simple. I got the sign of 5 minutes, so I better reply on that. That was the Danini. Moving into adulthood, we don't have much time. Can you say in one or two sentences what you came up with, because it's very important?
Yeah, I'm supposed
to take
the mic.
Yeah, you are.
Now? Oh, it's on now. I mean, we didn't get to a lot of conclusions, but one thing we ask ourselves is, what does adulthood actually mean? Because from culture to culture, it might be different.
Yes.
I mean, in Europe, it might be quite similar maybe, but in other cultures it's different. And yeah. I mean, we ask ourselves that question. And the second thing we said that we basically you need the four tasks we talked before to actually reach adulthood.
That's true. So you're stuck when you haven't succeeded for the four of them. Yeah. Yeah.
Identify,
yeah.
Which is missing.
Yes, and work the way through them. That is so true. And that's also why it's a very critical stage, and it's also the critical window, the adulthood where you get a partner, you get a job, you get settled down. So many things you have to build in quite a few years. So you really have to work your way through the four stages and then focus on the fifth one. Moving into the adulthood is a lot about the importance of peers, of losing your ties to your parents, of succeeding in finding your own place in life. Friends, and to fit in, and the whole in-group, out-group gets even more important at this stage. I think we talked about that yesterday. How comes that moving away in that couple of years is so difficult? This is exactly why. They don't need the parents anymore, but they need to fit in, and this is a very critical period to go back and not fitting in. Networking gets even more important. That's one of the ways we can help them. And parents have to let go. Even though they don't fit in well, even though they don't find their way, they have to let go, because otherwise you tie them too closely and they are not able to find their own place. So this is a very hard spot as a parent. I had to rest through, sorry. I asked the children again, what helps you? And they came up with this. It helps me figure out who I am when I can spend time with people who understand me. Very important. It helps me when others get me, so I know it's okay to be who I am. It helps to talk to people about it. It helps to talk about how you're feeling. It helps to have friends you can be 100% yourself with, the social identity. In a way, I think moving around makes it easier to be who you really are. She got into that self-clarity concept. I don't think a lot about it. I like that. Yes, we don't have time for the film clip. I just want to comment on the last thing. TCKs are not alone on this. Moses were there 1,000 years before that, and he was searching for his identity as well. I just picked out a couple of sentences. He said, I have become a foreigner in a foreign land. He is a true TCK. And I'm picking from the passage where he is at the burning bush meeting God. And Moses says, here I am in the middle of it. And God replies, I am, clear identity. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Shame, we could have talked a lot about shame, because that is part of not knowing who I am, but we didn't today. Moses said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Not knowing who I am, I'm not comfortable, I'm not good enough. But God says, I will be with you. Not just I will support you, I'll be your group or something, but I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. And Moses goes again, pardon your servant, Lord. I've never been eloquent, that's me today. Neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I'm slow of speech and tongue. I have all these challenges. Please, God, not me. And God said, well, I created you. I gave you your identity with all your strengths and all your weaknesses. Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight and makes them blind? It is not I, the Lord. Now go. I will help you speak and will teach you what to say because I am. So with these words, they are not alone. God is with them. God who is very clear in his identity. He who is. This is for today. Thank you for listening.